TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Evolution of Organic at the Grange. Community screening of the film by Mark Kitchell. In November 2017, Mark Kitchell brought his new documentary film, Evolution of Organic, to the Willits Grange in Northern California. It's a new film on the history of organic agriculture told by those who built the movement. Willits and the surrounding county of Mendocino have a rich tradition of organics, and everybody in the audience was either a happy consumer of local food or a farmer-gardener themselves. Gloria and Stephen Decatur and Ruthie King are among those local farmer-gardeners, and in addition, they were important participants in the movie Evolution of Organic. Gloria and Stephen Decatur began as students of Alan Chadwick's in Santa Cruz and founded in 1973 the Live Power Community Farm in Covelo in Mendocino County. It's a 50-acre solar electric and horse-powered certified biodynamic farm. 4 acres are devoted to vegetables. The rest of the farm is used to grow home orchard fruits and field and forage crops for hay, grain, and pasture. Animals on the Live Power Community Farm include draft horses, dairy and beef cows, feeder pigs, sheep, and laying hens. Ruthie King is director of operations and livestock manager at the Grange Farm School on Ridgewood Ranch. After the screening of the film, they came forward to comment and answer questions. Curiously, this particular audience asked many questions about 2 founders of the organic movement who were no longer alive when the film was made, Alan Chadwick and Rudolf Steiner. The Decatur's credit Alan Chadwick for the choices they have made in their lives. Stephen Decatur worked longer and more closely with Chadwick than anyone else. He was with him in Santa Cruz when he created his world-famous garden there. After Chadwick got fired from UC Santa Cruz, some say for running afoul of the biochemical department, where research led to herbicides and defoliants, including Agent Orange, Chadwick received an invitation to create a garden in Covelo, Round Valley, California. In 1973, Stephen Decatur received a letter from Chadwick inviting him to join the new project. Steve then worked with him during the entire Covelo period, from 1973 to 1978. Alan Chadwick was an English master gardener and a leading innovator of organic farming techniques based on biodynamic and French intensive gardening practice. E.F. Schumacher, author of Small is Beautiful, called Alan Chadwick, quote, the greatest horticulturalist of the 20th century. Alan led the movement that pioneered organic gardening and farming in North America. But Alan Chadwick was far more than a gardener. He taught, prodded, cajoled, and berated his many students until they became competent, authentic, and creative human beings. Or at least, that was his goal for them, as he would settle for nothing less. A longtime Chadwick apprentice once said, he was a gardener of souls. End quote. Alan Chadwick was a student of Rudolf Steiner. Steiner, who died in March 1925, was an Austrian philosopher, social reformer, architect, and agriculturalist. After the First World War, Steiner had become active in a wide variety of cultural contexts. He founded a number of schools, the first of which was known as the Waldorf School, which later evolved into a worldwide school network. He also founded a system of organic agriculture, now known as biodynamic agriculture, which was one of the very first forms of modern organic farming. Chadwick had been born into the upper crust of Edwardian society in England. The family estate was enormous and dotted with formal gardens of varying themes and sizes. Chadwick's mother brought Rudolf Steiner to the estate to tutor her son. Later it became clear that Steiner's theories about the interrelatedness of living things contributed to the development of Alan Chadwick's own gardening methods. Steiner was, however, regarded as an utter crank by many of his peers, and Chadwick has explained that the attitude of house guests towards his tutor, very often at tea or dinner they'd turn to me and say, with just the slightest curl of the lip, "Do you really study with that man, then?" All that served to further isolate the teenager. British high society were not the only ones who derided Rudolf Steiner. Adolf Hitler called him a tool of the Jews, and the Nazi Party disrupted his lectures. The film Evolution of Organic opens with a short clip of Alan Chadwick, followed by Stephen Decatur, who remembers his first meeting with him in Santa Cruz. The narrator is Francis McDormand.
"Today there is no obedience and reverence of nature whatever in anybody. They couldn't care less."
A more metaphysical aspect emerges when Alan Chadwick, eccentric master gardener, appears at UC Santa Cruz just as students are starting a garden. He teaches a generation Rudolf Steiner's biodynamic philosophy.
He was just like radiating energy. And he came to me and he looked me in the eye and he says, "How are you?" And of course, I wasn't very happy with what I was seeing going on in the world. I was actually quite disturbed and looking for something that I could do in my life that would bring health and healing. He got a kind of a crinkle in his eyes, bright blue eyes, and a kind of a under his breath chuckle. And he says, "Well, perhaps you'd like to do something." And I was like, yes, this is what I want. I want to be able to work with my hands into the physical world, but also work with my heart and soul. And Alan introduced me to that existence.
Chadwick introduced the ideas of Rudolf Steiner, whose biodynamic philosophy unites spirit and matter, seeing the farm as a whole living organism.
The work that fell to me was to find a way to hold on to that spiritual basis and create that farm that could also be viable in the economic and material world.
Stephen Decatur, remembering a moment in the summer of 1967 in Santa Cruz, 50 years earlier, but still so alive. Now I'm taking you to the November 2017 community meeting in Willits, California. Mark Kitchell had just shown his new documentary film, Evolution of Organic. And some of the protagonists of the film had come forward to remember, comment, and answer questions. Here first is Gloria Decatur, followed by Ruthie King, Director of Operations and Livestock Manager at the Grange Farm School, and then comments by Stephen Decatur.
"It was really exciting for me to see Alan Chadwick up there. To Stephen and I, he's really the beginning of it all. And he's the beginning of it all, you know, from a real spiritual perspective. And just like, this is what life is about. And there's so much now available of Alan Chadwick. There's several websites and some really important information out there. I would really encourage people to check it out because Alan had so much to share with us and he inspired so many people. And so many people are doing so many incredible projects around the world and, you know, helped so many people get into biodynamics, which is also our passion. And I just started crying several times. And I cry a lot, so."
"I think what's cool for me about hearing you say that is that I had a really similar feeling seeing Stephen on the screen." Like, I think it's just many generations of crazy people who pass that on and inspire the next generation. You know, I feel all the time, I feel like, why am I doing this? This just seems like all the decks are stacked against us. And I wasn't really aware of the early history. I knew like a little bit, but seeing you know, some of those early scenes of the short shorts in the warehouse and you know, people who look totally out of context, who created a movement, that's what I feel like I want to do. And it helps me realize that you were all the crazy people first, and so it's okay.
Continue the
and it's kind of fun too.
Crazy and passionate tradition.
Well, I hope you have some young crazy people too.
yeah.
And this year was the 50th anniversary of Alan Chadwick coming to UC Santa Cruz, and Stephen and I went to that and attended that. And although Stephen was there when Alan Chadwick first came to Santa Cruz, and you know, was one of his first and his longest over all the years apprentice or associate or whatever, you know, with the whole gardening projects. But we had never, after Stephen left Santa Cruz, didn't really stay in touch with everything that was going on there, and we were just amazed at all the people who had gone through that project at Santa Cruz. And you know, we were at this banquet on the Saturday night, and the banquet was 500 or 600 people, and I kept seeing people that I had no idea had ever been in that project and had been related to, and all the different things that they were doing and how inspired they were. And you know, they also were all over the world doing these amazing projects.
So the evolution of organic is still evolving. And I think that it's wonderful to see this being documented in this way and put forward so that we can have a sense of the history of it all. Very important to us. You know, it was interesting to me to see the concern that brought about this shift to organic, concern for the earth being poisoned, and how that initiated all of this huge development. Those things are still happening on another level in terms of our air and our atmosphere and our whole climate. And so for me, having been devoted to the scale of agriculture that can work with live power, that is current energy from the sun in terms of photovoltaic energy or through livestock, through work horses, work animals for tillage, that is a way that we can not only take care of the soil, but also take care of the air, which is critical to all of us. But obviously, as Wendell Berry says, everyone who eats is farming. Mm-hmm. We're all farming. So it's really important for people to realize that more and more on a larger and larger scale, that everyone really needs to realize that the money that we put forward for food is what supports the agriculture that is existing then. And so if we become more conscious, we want to be concerned about taking care of the health of the soil, but we also want to take care of the health of the air, I think we're going to have to make another big step and another big evolution into looking at what the power sources are in our agriculture. And the people that are eating can have a huge effect in that arena also by partnering up with farmers that want to produce with live power as a basis in their farming practice. But it will take all of the eaters, and it will take the support of those people. And you know, live power agriculture today is still valued on a fossil energy agriculture basis,
and it's not an adequate basis to really support a live power agriculture and the people that would be practicing it and carrying it out. And so that's a change that we have to move into in the future. And so I think that Mark's going to have to make another film before long because those changes are coming down really fast. And we're going to have to make big changes. Yeah, the root of the word culture is till and tend. And so we're all involved in that. And we need to do that with consciousness and passion.
That was Stephen Decatur, co-founder of Live Power Community Farm in Covelo, Mendocino County. The first question from the audience is about Rudolf Steiner.
Rudolf Steiner was a man of so many, like a Da Vinci. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious if you kind of might know how he came by his wisdom.
He does say in his writing that all of us have the capacity to perceive in what he termed the supersensible, which the sensible perception is what we perceive with our eyes, ears, nose, etc. We all, and we agree, you know, this is a blue, and this tastes thus and such and so on. But he says that through exercise and development, all of us have like latent perceptions, organs of perception of also the beyond sense world and how it works. And if you want to call that spiritual, one of his statements is there is no spirit without matter, and matter always has spirit. And so we're just haven't developed that perception, and apparently he, as an individual, had already an innate capacity to perceive in that way to a fair degree, and then he worked on that development of his supersensible understanding.
But at the same time, he was studying all the sciences so
yes,
that he could, you know, accurately say through his own research, not only spiritual, but physical and scientific, that this, you know, here I can prove this theory. When he created the agriculture course, it was farmers who came to him and said, hey, man, the soil. In 1920, you know, the soil was already being depleted. You know, it was already losing its vitality. And that's when he created the agriculture course. That's when he gathered with all these farmers and, you know, got together at this farm, at this estate. And then, you know, from that came the agriculture course.
And, you know, problems with animal health and so on. And this isn't actually 1923 when he gave those lectures. It's not that long after the introduction of chemical agriculture through Justice von Liebig analyzing plant ash and saying the plant is nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. And if we, you know, can manufacture that separately and give the plant that, it'll do what it'll do. Well, yes, it will give a plant a bunch of ammonium nitrate, or you're going to get big stuff, but it's just going to cause that plant to be an addict on the soil and draw all of the natural health and balance out of the soil until eventually everything starts getting sick. And so now we've seen that. But he was able to perceive those dynamics clear back then in stating that a farm has to have its complement of cows, for instance, to be truly healthy as a whole organism. He saw farms as a whole organism, a whole being. And the ideal would be to create out of your farm organism what you need for the farm to live and thrive. And so necessarily that would also involve the livestock that would create the manures that would be needed to, you know, create the fertility for that whole farm organism. So he saw that clear back in 1923 and presented that to people to, you know, start to look into and develop from. So it was huge. Yeah.
That was Stephen Decatur commenting on the film by Mark Kitchell, Evolution of Organic. I recorded him in November 2017. Given that the new organic movement in the U.S. is now over 50 years old, and many of the farmers who were in their early 20s in the late 60s are ready to retire, the question arose how to bring the next generation into farming. Gloria Decatur.
Well, the other big issue brought by the film, which has been a big issue the past, you know, 5-10 years, is all these oldies getting older and, you know, ourselves being, you know, amongst that. And how do we deal with that? How do we pass the farms on? How do we keep those farms going? You know, I mean, I sat there watching and just thinking, oh my God, there's just so much I want to do, but I don't have the same energy that I had 40 years ago. You know, I mean, we started 40 years ago, or 45 years ago, or something like
50
that.
50 years ago.
No. For you. I mean, Severin is very involved in that, and she's very passionate about connecting older and younger farmers together. And California Farmlink is really involved in that, and they're, you know, they have a special group of people trying to help create leases, create relationships, connecting people. And I don't know, however individuals, consumers, you know, want to help with that. I think it's, you know, all sorts of ideas should, we need to help generate those things. Because it's not an easy thing to do. It's not a transition. What do you mean, change?
I think one of the big challenges that I've noticed with that, and Severin and I talk a lot about intergenerational truce making. That's the term. It's a Severin term. Anyway, I think maybe you could see more of it. I wonder if more of that interview showed up in the book about the concept of intergenerational transfer and how hard that is. And it was mentioned in the film that this new generation, you know, were really values driven, and in a way, you know, we were maybe influenced by seeing how bad things were and the chemicals and the pesticides, and so now, like, very adamantly, like, against that. But in some ways, uncompromising and very stubborn generation. I'm admitting it, so it's okay. It's not me, it's everyone else. All the rest of them are like that. And it's a good thing in a lot of ways that this generation is sticking to some values and that there's some important things that we really want to see happen, but that stubborn nature also makes it challenging to find, you know, a good relationship and that humility, and yeah, exactly. So I think that there's a lot of work that has to be done just in the social relationships and understanding our place, not just because we weren't the ones that did the better life through chemistry movement, doesn't mean that we were born angels and we're here to solve all the problems. And I think that's sometimes, that sometimes can be the challenge with finding the succession person, is because we want it our way or something like that.
And I believe community-based agriculture is the key. And again, that's where the community of eaters join up with the farmers and make it work. And I believe that the community-based approach can provide the potential for an associative economic relationship of consciousness between the grower and the eater and the earth, and looking at all of those needs and then saying, if we're to grow this agriculture and really keep it healthy, what does it take to meet those needs? And meeting them, what are the costs of meeting those needs? And that's what the real cost of food is. And if we can look at that together consciously as a community, we can transform not only agricultural practice, but also economic practice. practice, which is a transformation that's going to have to occur in order for us to really evolve. I believe community-based farming is really the key.
Stephen Decatur, co-founder with Gloria Decatur of the Life Power Community Farm in Covelo. He was part of the screening of the new film, Evolution of Organic by Mark Kitchell, that is going into distribution in early 2018. Kitchell also introduced the writer Kim Bancroft, who used transcripts of the interviews of the many practitioners of organics. She edited them into essays, preserving material that was impossible to fit into the 86-minute film. Here's Kim Bancroft.
It was really great to work on the essays that I was able to create by taking some of the interviews that Mark had done. And as you see, there were little snippets of people talking on the film, but these interviews were very long, and it gave a sense of how people had come into farming. For example, there was one with Warren Weber where he talked about growing up and his father's farm and coming to Cal and being part of the sort of revolution in the 60s and getting alienated and then going out into Marin and starting this farm. And so you get a sense of more of the history of each person's life and what they've come from and what they're giving to this movement. And so that's been a really wonderful part of getting to see the background of this and why I think Mark wanted to have a book that would kind of not be so much about the science of it, but really the trajectory of people's lives and the trajectory of the movement too. So Izzy Martin, for example, I was also able to do more of a chapter about her life. And she went from being a student to an activist and getting into a whole variety of the politics of the organic movement and learning how we've gone from having these, you know, folks who were making these farms as young people to creating a whole legislation that was able to codify what many of these farmers wanted to have be the future of organic.
That was Kim Bancroft, writer for the accompanying book On the Evolution of Organic, a new film by Mark Kitchell on the history of organic agriculture, told by those who built the movement. Director and writer Mark Kitchell is best known for his movies Berkeley in the 60s and his environmental film A Fierce Green Fire. The website for the film is evolutionoforganic.com. I recorded this program at the Willits Grange on November 17, 2017. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Look at the newest programs or the podcast page. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening.